think with you. This is Howard Hughes. Don't want to worry you, but according to the AOL News website this morning, which has carried stories like this before, so please don't choke on your breakfast, because I wouldn't worry about this. But they're saying that while NASA has predicted that an enormous asteroid will pass by the Earth next week, others are speculating it might be a little more dangerous. NASA has stated that although the asteroid will enter our orbit, it will not come into contact with our planet, thankfully. But some conspiracy theorists, according to this story, claim the asteroid will come into contact with the Earth, causing not only a series of tsunamis, but boiling the seas in the process as well. Damir Zakharovich, a Russian conspiracy theorist, they quote, says the asteroid will hit the planet on the 16th of February. Make your plans. Check your insurance. I don't think so. But, you know. Who knows? One of these days, they say there will be an asteroid that comes this way and actually skims the planet or hits it. I don't think it's going to be 15th of or 16th of February, whatever Dmitry, what was his name? Dmitry Damir Zakharovich says. I digress. 7:40, 20 to 8, BBC Radio Berkshire. Technology news now with the man they call Fevzi Turkalp. And why not? Because he is the definitive gadget detective. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
How are you?
Yes, good, thank you. Enjoy St. Valentine's Day, just in case.
Oh, yes, well, I think it will have to be a particularly special one this year, won't it? If it's the end of the world as we know it. I should have found that record. It's the end of the world as we know it. I don't think so.
Yes. And, you know, darling, take something. Darling, I think we're going to be hit by an asteroid. We better make the most of it.
And okay. I do try not to play REM if I possibly can. Okay, technology news this week. Great story. Heard something about this on the science program on 5 Live overnight. Can your voice reveal whether you have an illness?
Yeah, so it's interesting, really. This is about an American startup company called Canary Speech, and Canary is famously used in down coal mines to detect the early signs of gas escapes. And their premise is that they can use machine learning or artificial intelligence to test for a number of neurological conditions and cognitive diseases, including Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, and other forms of dementia, just from the person's voice, from the way that they speak, and the oh-so-subtle changes in the way that we speak in the early signs of disease. This came about because one of the co-founders had a friend of some 30 years standing who was diagnosed with Parkinson's and then was told that actually it was likely that he'd had Parkinson's for about 10 years before he had his diagnosis. And the reason why that's important is that a lot of illnesses, including Parkinson's, are most effectively controlled when having an early diagnosis. And if you go 10 years without having a diagnosis, then obviously the progression of that illness can be different. The technology behind this is, you may have heard this expression, big data. So the way that artificial intelligence programs are taught now is different to the way that we tried to make machines smart in the past. In the past, we tried to give them rules by saying, oh, look for this and look for that. And really, it depended upon us knowing what those rules are and being able to explain them to a computer. Now, the way that big data works and these AI programs is that they consume huge amounts of data. So in the case of something like this, it will listen to thousands or millions of voice recordings, some of which are people who are perfectly healthy and some of which are people who are ill. And by noticing what the ill people have in common and what the healthy people have in common, it develops an understanding, and an understanding better than you and I.
So they come up with an algorithm.
Yeah, yeah. It looks for different. This is also the way, by the way, in which computers are being taught to see. One of the big problems was, you know, you and I can spot if I give you a photo of a dog or in a photograph, you can see it's a dog despite the color of the dog, the angle at which the dog is sitting, standing, running, whatever it's doing, the breed of dog. You know what a dog looks like. Trying to explain that in rules to a computer is very different. But if you give it a couple of million pictures of and say these pictures contain dogs and another couple of million say these don't, it can work out what a dog looks like under all different circumstances. So fascinating. Obviously, it has great potential. There are also, with all these big data projects, though, there are also privacy concerns, because this is one of the reasons why when you use a voice-activated device, be it a smartphone or Alexa or any of these devices, one of the reasons why the voice recognition is done on their computers rather than locally. It used to be because the device wasn't capable of doing it, wasn't fast enough. That's no longer true. They're building up huge databases of our speech, which they can then use for various purposes, and this might be an example of one of them. So, but it, yeah, so it's kind of a bit creepy as well.
Well,
but
you know, I'm a little retro, and I just hope that they're not going to use this as an excuse for, you know, preventing you from seeing a specialist. So you try it on the computer first, and then see how you are. Technology is a good thing as long as it's not the only thing that we have. Good story this week. Sky TV are moving away for the first time, by the looks of it, from the satellite model. They're actually offering their services online. That seems to me to be a little bit of a departure for them. I wonder why they're doing it.
Well, from 2018, they're saying for those people that would like their service but can't have a dish, and apparently there's about 6 million such potential customers across Europe, they will offer it for them. They're not off. Then, if you're able to have a dish at your location, they still will want to sell you a dish. But they recognise that, you know, they have competition. They already have Now TV, by the way, which is a streaming service, but that only offers a small selection of programmes. This is clearly the direction of travel. Satellite dishes, we've been saying for a long time, will be relegated to the past, and internet is the way in which we will consume all of our media, be it television, radio, or what have you. So, but at the moment, they're still trying to hold on to the fact that they're unique in having this huge swathe of satellite dishes set up around the country. So they don't want to give up on that advantage. But actually, internet is better. One of the problems with satellite dishes is that they are only fast for data coming in. If you need to communicate back, they need to do it back through the phone line, you know, if you want to choose a program.
That is, of course, you know, accepting the fact that your internet is good enough to do it. If it isn't, then you're not going to get the best possible pictures, are you? You're not going to get 4K.
Yeah, and well, they're not said whether they're offering 4K over the internet either at the moment. But yes, you're right, and I think that's one of the reasons also why they want to hold on and only offer this for those that can't have satellite at the moment, is because not everyone has sufficient bandwidth on the internet. And if they do, you know, it may affect their other internet services if they only just have enough and then they want to do other things.
Well, I guess they've got to get the money back for all those premiership rights deals, somehow, and this is one way to do it.
Well, profits down 9% because they've just paid so much for sports rights.
Well, it might be a good thing. Look, where I live in the block of flats, we are not allowed satellite dishes, and it's always been a bone of contention that the managing committee just won't relent and allow even a communal dish. So that could be a way to do it. Got to rush on, Fevzi, you have 60 seconds. There is a new kind of portable charger. This is your gadget of the week. Now, these things have become very popular. What's this one?
Yeah, so this is from a company called Anker, spelt A-N-K-E-R. It's a portable charger, which is effectively a battery that allows you to charge your devices when you're out and about. This one's called the PowerCore Plus 26800, and the reason why it's called the 26800 is that says how much charge it can hold, and that's in milliamp hours, a huge amount of charge. So this thing can charge up to three devices at once. It will do laptops, tablets and smartphones. It's a huge amount of charge. So this thing weighs nearly 600 grams. It's about 7 inches by 3 inches by 1 inch. So this is for people who are travelling. It's not for popping in your purse when, you know, just in case your phone runs down a bit during the day. This is for people who are going on flights and won't be near anything. It can charge an iPhone 6, for example, 10 times over, completely dead to full 10 times over, or a MacBook computer. It can charge up 3 times over.
Well, no, both of those things take some juice, don't they?
Yeah, very, very fast charging technology built into it for qualifying devices, it will do those extremely fast. For non-compatible devices, it will even charge those quickly as well. Just under £53 and 4.5 stars out of 5.
Well, because it's great for traveling.
For the right user, it's excellent. For the traveller, it's a dream.
Okay, it's the Anker Power Core. Fevzi, if people want to get in touch with you, shoot the breeze generally, ask you a tech question, how do they do that?
Come and say hello on Twitter, at Gadget Detective. Come and say hello, register on Twitter and say, hello Fevzi, how are you?
Hello Fevzi, and goodbye Fevzi. We'll talk again in 7 days. Thank you very much, Fevzi, for getting up early and doing this. Take care.